This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 6, 2014, the fifth Sunday in Lent, or Passion Sunday, by Father Joe Roberts.
On this Passion Sunday, the Sunday on which the Church sums up her teaching and sums up the Lord's teaching in preparation for Easter, it makes sense to look back over the season of Lent and see what we have heard and what we have learned. The ancient Roman Church had two traditions during this season of Lent. The first was the tradition of the so-called stations. Each day during Lent, the Pope would assemble in a church with his assistant clergy and the deacons and the people of God, and march in solemn procession to what was called the station church, a church where he would say Mass and give his homily for the day. And all of Rome would follow him. In the late antiquity and the early Middle Ages, Rome was a fairly small city, and so the people could actually gather together in one place to celebrate the liturgy. And this station church is still commemorated in the old missal. Each day has the station and the church where the station used to be observed. And indeed, recently there's been some revival of this celebration of the stations. But an older and more fundamental tradition is that Lent is the season of preparation. First, for the preparation of the catechumens, those who were hearers, those who were being instructed in the Catholic faith, preparation to receive the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of chrismation or confirmation, and the most august sacrament of the Eucharist. And so the readings were prepared and conformed to this purpose. I'd like you to recall with me briefly the Gospels, which we have heard over the past 5 weeks. You will recall that the first Sunday in Lent had the gospel of the temptation of Christ from St. Matthew's gospel. The purpose of this gospel was to teach the catechumens and to teach all of the people of God that the practice of the Christian Catholic faith is one of conversion. It's one of being tempted and rejecting temptation. It's a process of increased holiness, of strengthening of our will through God's help to follow the commands of God and of His Church and to become saints. And the Lord's triumph over the devil in resisting his temptations was a sign and an encouragement to the faithful that the Christian life was possible. It seems sometimes so difficult, and yet the fact that we are one with the Lord makes it possible that we actually can lead a holy life. And then on the second Sunday of Lent, we have heard the gospel of the transfiguration from Matthew's gospel, the sign of the glory to come, that the same God-man who suffered the temptations of the devil was truly the Son of God, revealed in his beauty and his glory in the presence of the Old Testament fathers and before his chosen witnesses, Peter and James and John. He was transformed with raiment white and glistening like snow, and the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, shone around him. This is meant to be an encouragement to the faithful that the glory to which they are headed is already present with them in the midst of pain and temptation and all of the chances and changes of this mortal life. And then on the third Sunday of Lent, we begin the serious preparation for the sacrament of baptism. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well shows that God's intention that all men and women be saved is always the first and great expression of his will. And the theme of water that runs throughout this story shows that the waters of baptism will be a flood of spirit and of life for the church and all her members. And then on the fourth Sunday of Lent, we have the account from John's Gospel of the man born blind, in which the Lord anoints the eyes of the blind man with a mixture of saliva and of mud. Saliva, the Spirit of God, and the mud, the nature of man, signifying that the God-man, both man and God, will illumine our eyes, will give us light to see and to believe and to follow him with faith. And finally, on this Sunday, this Passion Sunday, the Church concludes her teaching with the account of the raising of Lazarus. What does this raising of Lazarus mean? It means that our human nature, weak and prone to sin and to death, a death we must all endure, has been raised up in Christ through baptism. It's a sign that, contrary to what Martha and Mary think, that if only the Lord had been there, their brother would not have died. Contrary to this, the Lord was present, and the Lord is present through the gift of his Holy Spirit given to us in baptism. As St. Paul says, you who have been baptized in Christ have been baptized into his death and raised to life again with him. This is the heart of the Christian Catholic faith, that through the waters of baptism we have been made one with Jesus Christ. We have been incorporated into his body, the Church, into the body of the incarnate Son of God, and that nothing, not even earthly death, can separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. And this is the rebirth that we have all experienced. This is the rebirth for which the catechumens are preparing. And if we take to heart the lessons of these five Gospels, we are ready to experience the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Blessed Lord in the events of Holy Week. Jesus knows, as do his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus, that we will all be raised again at the last day. But he knows also that those who have been made one with him through the sacraments are already raised with him, even in this life. One of Bach's chorales wondrously says, if you'll pardon my German pronunciation, for those who have been made one with Christ, die Welt ist euch ein Himmelreich. For them, the world is already the kingdom of heaven. you who have been baptized into Jesus Christ and anointed by the Holy Spirit and fed by his glorious body and blood, are already living the life of resurrection. And this is our hope. This is our only hope, that in this dark world of sin and death, of infidelity, of failure, of trials and tribulations, of sorrows and unfulfilled longings, God has done for us better things than we can desire or pray for. He has made us one with him in Jesus Christ, and he wills that we share his divinity with him in heaven. May God grant us, each of us, as we begin this great and holy week coming, beginning next Sunday, may God grant that each of us may enter more deeply into the Paschal mystery, to suffer with Christ, to die with him, and to rise with him in glory.